Chapter number 13 tonight, and again, I'm just saying, if you've got an issue with the message tonight, you're going to have to talk to Jesus about that. As I was prepared and ready to preach about success tonight, I really was. I'm prepared to preach about success, and came in here and practiced with the young people a little bit on music, went back to the office, sat down, looked at the notes, and all of a sudden God just put this verse of scripture in my heart, and there was a little saying that I've used, and so I went through all of my notes and I did a search and find, and I could not find. I've never preached this message like this tonight. I've never preached it. As a matter of fact, I've only referenced this verse in all of my messages that I have found. I've only referenced it twice. And I just really feel the unction of the Lord to go in this way. And so in Genesis 13, let's just begin at verse number 5. Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thine herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou shalt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I just want to take my thought from verse number 10. And even as I'm reading this, I just feel stronger and stronger about this. And verse number 10, I want to direct your attention there towards the last part of that. And it says, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And I simply want to preach for however long the Lord would allow me to do so tonight. I'm going to preach unto you the religious reason and the real reason. Amen. The religious reason and the real reason. Amen. He said, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, the religious reason and the real reason. Heavenly Father, we're so indebted to you. We can do nothing without you, Jesus. We lean upon you, asking you, sweet Holy Ghost, to minister and to move in this place. Let the power of your Spirit come over this house, God, like a mighty wave. Let the inspiration of the Holy Ghost begin to speak to us, Lord. Let your power and your Spirit intervene, God, into the situation, Lord, that is on precarious grounds tonight. I'm asking you, sweet Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, Santa Conda Revesando Marisciente Yondo Resama La Revisa Canto Keshiandai. Yamando torovosi palavesam poroshe, yalabarra se camondo, yorevisi camaye tolomosai. Banderamendo basem veremendo revesando lo sheva la lavoraca yeronda kendo yoshai. Yamando maseba lo vosi, kibera marando, yelaba pazata cantoromoshai. E la mando bi paradavesse ambarabando reveshan baravesotto che babbo rukishia. God, would you direct my attention? Would you direct my thoughts, God? Would you intervene, God? Would you intercede, Lord Jesus? Use me, God, to reach, Lord God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. and you may be seated tonight. We find two individuals that are known amongst any of us religious believing people. Chances are it is the prequel to a story that we have all heard in Sunday school class as we have learned about Sodom and Gomorrah. But there are some things that transpired before Sodom and Gomorrah took place and the burning and the destruction of it that we want to delve into tonight. And so we find two characters, two individuals, one by the name of Abraham, whom we are very well acquainted with, and another by the name of Lot, in whom we do know a little about. Lot is the one that we do not major upon. We know that Abraham is called the friend of God. Abraham was living in a pagan nation. He was in a heathen nation, and somehow there is a genealogy that would bring the word of God unto him through Shem's line into Abraham. Shem is Noah's son, and it gets down into Abraham through Terah, and we see that the Lord began to speak unto Abraham and called him out of a heathen land. And the Bible teaches us that Abraham separated himself from his family. And in order to do that which was right. Amen. There are familial ties that are with Abraham. There is the need to do right. There is the need to follow after God. And I believe that there is the desire to do right with Abraham. I believe that through all of this, he must love God, for there is no other reason that God would begin to speak to him and to tell him to get out of the country from his kindred and from his father's house unto the land that God would show him. And God made a promise unto this man and told him, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will bless thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thy name shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so the Bible tells us that Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And this young man by the name of Lot went with him. Amen. We would learn that Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot was Abraham's brother's son. And Lot would go with his uncle Abraham. And so I want to magnify, to accentuate the family ties that are here and the decision that Abraham has upon him. And the decision that is put before him is to follow God or to follow after family. And he could have stayed in that land that was a paganistic land. He could have stayed in that heathen land. But there was the necessity and yet the desires that overweighed the familial ties that Abraham had, and that was simply to do what God would have him to do and to do what was right. And in order for God to bless, and in order for God's blessings and his provision, his power, and all of that to be upon us, we must understand that it behooves us to do what God would have us to do. And not just to do what God would have us to do, but in that sense, there are going to be some strong familial ties that are going to be broken, that are going to be severed in order to do and to follow the will of God and to make the right choices. I do not have the time to go through the examples that I would have for you today and to tell you that it is not always easy to do these things. But Jesus even spoke, and he said that except that you would hate your mother and hate your father, that you cannot be a disciple of his. And that does not mean that you literally despise and hate them. It simply means that you love God more than them. That no matter what mom decides to do, that your love for God supersedes that. That no matter what dad decides to do, that your love supersedes that. I believe that it goes beyond all of that. I'm preaching in the Holy Ghost here tonight. But I believe that it supersedes that. I believe that no matter what your husband decides to do, you've got to love God. No matter what your wife decides to do, you've got to follow after God. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen, amen, amen. I could talk to you about the Elder Evans that made a decision to live for God. And Elder Roger Evans made that decision to live for God. And in making that decision and going to a Pentecostal church where they shouted their hair down and where they had high church and deep church. Amen. There at that church, he found religion. He found a Pentecostal experience. And his dad was not as happy about his experience as he was. And his dad told him in times to come, if you go to that church, I will beat you. And he made the declaration that, Dad, you're just going to have to beat me then. And so sure enough, the beatings began to take place. And his dad whipped him unmercifully. And he would still go to church. And one day he came out of his room dressed in his church clothes, ready to go. And his dad looked at him and said, I told you that if you ever go back to that church, I'm going to beat you. And he said, yes, sir, I understand that. And so his dad stood up and took the belt, and he beat that young man until he was bloody. And when he was done, amen, Elder Evans looked at his dad and said, can I now go to church? That is the type of love that you have got to have for God. That is the type of relationship that you have got to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first commandment is love the Lord your God. I feel the Holy Ghost today. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Let me tell you what that entails tonight. Amen. You can be seated today. Amen. I want you to understand what that entails. When Jesus said, amen, even back in the book of Exodus, that we were to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. I don't have time to go through it all, but let me just tell you today that when he said that you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, that means that before you ever give one feeling away, before you ever give one emotion away, that you would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That you would seek the will of God before anything else. Amen. Let me preach to you young people today, but I'm going to splash some salt and pepper here. Amen. For the congregation. But young people, it is extremely important that when you begin to look for a mate, and it just happens, you're going to find somebody that looks cute. You're going to find
somebody that looks a little bit handsome. But before, it behooves you to do this, that before you ever decide, I like this individual, number one, you better fall upon your face and pray about it for an extended period of time. Number two, you better get your pastor involved in it. He is the spiritual oversight of your soul. Amen. And your soul is what's going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Amen. It does not matter if you have a happy marriage and you go to hell. It does not matter if you have a prosperous marriage and you go to hell. It does not matter these things, but you ought to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You've got to love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart. Just make a declaration within yourself today that before I give my heart to anybody, I'm going to seek the counsel of God. I'm going to seek the counsel of my pastor, and I'll seek the counsel of my parents in all of this. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. It's here. Let me just go ahead and speak in the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't care if you're 18 or 80, 80 years old. You better have the same concept. You better have the same principle. You better have the same mindset. I'm not giving my heart to anybody until I have sought the counsel of God, until I have brought it before the individual that is looking over my soul. You say it doesn't matter. It does matter. You need God to bless it. You need God to sanctify it. You need God, amen, to put His hand upon it.
Praise God. Amen. I'm just going to tell you how that I am here today. Amen. Amen. I don't care, amen, if you're 18 or 40 or 60. Amen, you've got this thing called flesh. And flesh doesn't want to do that which is right. Amen, your flesh is carnal. Amen, and there's always going to be two justifications or two reasons in all of it. Amen, you're going to have the religious reason, but you're going to have the real reason. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We can have teenagers fornicating, or we can have, amen, the 50-year-olds fornicating. It's still fornication. We don't have one set of rules for the teenagers and another set of rules for the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds, and we say, just do as you please and do as you want and hope it all works out okay. No, I'm in the work. Amen. I'm in the soul-saving business. Amen. And I will not stand back and let the devil come in like a sly old fox and try to seek to kill and destroy, amen, any saint in this church. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just worship God here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to make the devil so nervous here tonight, he's just going to have to leave. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, but you hear me tonight. There is a reason why people will be bound up, amen, from worship. There is a reason why people cannot worship God liberally. There is a reason why people were not able to pray. There is a reason why people are not able to give themselves unto God. It's because there's another reason in it. Amen. They're here at church for the religious reason. They've got a perception of religion about them. Amen. They show themselves to be religious, but there's a real reason behind it. There's a real reason.
reason behind it. Amen. Even as Lot said, it's like the land of the garden of God, but also it's like the land of Egypt, full of carnality, full of sin, full of debauchery, full of all kinds of ungodliness. Don't paint your life over with a little splash of religion here. We've got to have God.
Let me move on. And so Abraham says, I'm just painting it in 2021 vernacular. Abraham says, Mom and Dad, I got to go. Well, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. But God's called me, and I got to stay true to God. I got to do what God would have me to do. And sure enough, God had told him to do so. And so he's on his way out the door. He felt a little tug on his shirt sleeve, and he looks and he sees his nephew there. And Lot looks at him and says, Uncle Abraham, can I go with you? He's like, well, why do you want to go? I just feel like it's the right thing. I feel like I need to go. All right. And so Lot and Abraham, they begin to go. We're not talking about some child. This is a grown man. And so he has all of his herds, and even has herdsmen that are with him. And Abraham has his herds and his herdmen. And they were so big that the land was not able to support them. And then the herdsmen began to fight one amongst another. There was strife in the union there. There was strife that was there. And let me just say today that strife, amen, is a sign of pride. And that there cannot be any type of contention without pride. There's got to be pride. Pride is involved in it somewhere. Pride says, I deserve this. Pride says, I deserve better. Pride says, I've gone through this long enough. Pride says, you know what? I'm going to change things here. And so there is contention among Lot's and Abraham's herdsmen. And in the process of this, Abraham knowing what he's got to do, there is another call of separation. Don't get mad at the preacher when he begins to preach a message of separation. Separation is a theme in the Bible from the beginning until the very end. If you take separation out of the Bible, you're not going to have a Bible to read. God is the one that chose for His people to be separate from all of the people upon the face of the earth. I believe that's in Exodus chapter number 30 or chapter number 33 or 32, somewhere in there. God chose, amen, for His people to be separate from all the people upon the face of the earth. That is not just a New Testament concept. But that is an Old Testament concept, but that is a New Testament doctrine. Amen. For what fellowship doth light have with darkness? Amen. What fellowship, amen, does the good things have with the bad things that is there? Amen. Jesus even said, you cannot love Him and the world. No man can have two masters. There's got to be a separation. There's got to be a separation from the world and from in religion. There's got to be a separation from light and from darkness. And you cannot piddle, amen, with darkness. You cannot play with darkness. You cannot play with worldliness. You cannot play around, amen, with all of these things and not expect to suffer the consequences of it all. Amen, Brother Worse, I was in
I was in Warren, Texas, amen, preaching for Brother Richard Perry. I want to say the year was 2008, and he had called me and asked me to come preach for him, and there I was in Warren, Texas, and going to preach, and it was the first time, I'd met him, first time I'd ever seen the church, first time I'd ever seen any of the people, amen, and I'm trying and feeling like I want to make an impression, amen, upon the people and want to preach something good, and I got to the pulpit and things just began to blank out, and God began to minister, and I just kind of stepped out in the Holy Ghost. I said, there's somebody here tonight that you are fixing to make a decision that is going to affect you the rest of your life, and it's not a good decision. You are going to regret it, number one, and you are going to wish a million times over that you had chose some other direction. I'm going to tell you what the problem is, you have never consulted your pastor about the situation and the decision that you're making right now. The Holy Ghost began to move through that place. Amen. And God began to touch and began to minister. I didn't know what was happening. Brother Perry didn't even know what was happening. But at the end of the service, his secretary came to him and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. Amen. She had met somebody online, and she had arranged for something, and lo and behold, they were engaged to be married within just a few short days. And she said, I know it's not right, but I'm so tired of being single. I'm so tired of being lonely. Amen. I'm telling you, there's nothing that you can justify, amen, to make the wrong decision. Lord, I'm telling you today, it does matter what choice you make in your life. And God stepped in and God spared. Amen. And God made a way. Amen. God helped in that situation. I feel like I'm in a similar situation here tonight. I feel like there's some people here today that you are standing on the boundary of making a decision, that there is a separation factor that is there. And even as Abraham is looking and saying, Lot, I'm asking you to choose whichever way that you want. Whatever decision that you make that decision. What about you, Abraham? I've got a blessing put upon me. And God said he'll bless those that bless me. Amen. And curse those that curse me. Oh, if I would have been Lot, I would have been saying, what can I do to stay around you? What can I do, amen, just to be in the shadow of your blessings so that you would be able to bless even me? But instead, Lot began to look around. He cast his eyes. The Bible said that he lifted up his eyes. Lifted up his eyes. And he began to look around. And he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan from standing on the hill that he was on. You see, God will take you to a spiritual high place that you can see. Balaam fell with his eyes wide open. And so did Lot. And Lot looked around. And he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he said, oh, this is like the garden of God. What a religious reason. Let me preach for a while tonight. Oh, Pastor, she's so godly. Pastor, she's just so beautiful. And she's so godly. And she just worships and she just does this. And she's a magician. She makes my heart do flip-flops. The religious reason. The real reason, I love her. At least I think I do. She's beautiful. Look at her. Look at him. Oh, isn't he so handsome? He's so manly. Wow.
just causes me to almost pass out. He's just so, he's so wonderful in church. He's so great. He's so mighty. He just, let me tell you a secret. They all do when you're watching. They all do. Picking and choosing your spouse isn't a thing to do at youth rallies and conferences. Because everybody hides under the banner of religion at youth rallies and conferences. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yeah, they're going to be early to pray. They're going to be there and they're going to be praying just like you're praying. They're praying just like you're praying. Oh, but I saw her. She was just praying, and she saw you too. Praying and all of that. He saw you. You know, I saw my wife at a youth rally too. And when I saw her at a youth rally, and I didn't really see her in church. I saw her in the fellowship hall afterwards. And there she was, standing beside the trash can. And she was holding the trash can so people could come by and put their stuff in the trash. And I had to go by and shake her hand. And I thought to myself, that's the one I want to meet. And then we went to a conference, and we was there at that conference, and I was praying just like you were praying. I don't know if she was praying like y'all were praying, but and so I met her. But then I had a really good friend, one of my best friends, that went to church with her. And I called him up on the phone. I said, hey, buddy, I got something I want to talk to you about. He's like, okay. I said, you got somebody in your church named Monica? Yeah, I do. So I want to know what she's like. He said, well, what do you want to know? I said, I want to know, does she pray? Yeah, she prays. She's always there. She's always praying. She's always doing this. Is she this? Is she that? Oh, yeah. No, she's a worshiper. She's this. She's that. So I was finding out who she was when I wasn't around. And if she didn't pray, if she wasn't a worshiper, it doesn't matter how cute she is. We got to move on. So then it was time to talk to my pastor. And then it was time for my pastor to talk to her pastor. Yeah, because then you find out, well, you know what? I mean, I think they're a pretty good person, but they don't pay their tithe. And if they rob from God, they'll rob from you. I can't give them a good recommendation. Person, no, well, you know what? If she ain't paying her tithe, I don't want. If she ain't paying her tithe, then she got the curses of God. Why do I want the curses of God attached to my side? Well, you know what? I wished I could recommend her, but she's not faithful. She's kind of back and forth, you know. I never know when she's going to be there, when she's not going to be there. But Pastor, she was at the youth rally. But she's not at Sunday service. You see the importance? There's importance that's here. Amen.
That's why stuff like online dating is just...
I'm meddling, huh? This is what happens when you don't have notes.
Just send me a picture of you.
Okay. Let's Google an image here. Let's see. No, 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 no. Yeah, I like this one. That's what I wished I looked like. There you go. Whoa, you're so handsome. It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
And this is your soul. Your eternity. Heaven or hell.
You say, preacher, I think you're being a little overkill. Let's talk.
Let's talk. Lot looks forth and he says, it's just like the garden of God. Oh, I'm telling you what, I saw him run the aisles. I saw him praying. I saw him worshiping. I've seen him at two conferences. The religious reason is in there. And then the real reason, they just handsome, cute. The real reason. Now, I will be honest and I'll tell you. I told my wife, I said, if you wasn't cute, I wouldn't have looked at you a second time. But because she was cute, I did look a second time. And so did you when you came to your spouse. And so Lot looks over there. Lot says, I think I'll go this way. So that'll be fine. And so Lot made his choice. He didn't seek counsel. He didn't do anything. He just made his choice. And so everybody goes over to this other church, this other place, because it's a religious reason. Well, I mean, that's a good church. I know it's a good church. You don't know that it's a good church. It may look like a good church, but you don't know that it's a good church. They may have 200 people. That doesn't mean it's a good church. They may have 20 people, and that doesn't mean it's a bad church. But Lot chose to go to this church. And here he is over in this church having a high old time. Religious reason, but the real reason. It appeased to his flesh. It appeased to his carnality. Getting what I want. So he did what he wanted when he wanted to do it, and he was so happy about it. And there he was, and he was in the city, and everybody looking up to him, and he's just smiling, and he said, it looks like I made the right decision. Until he got a knock on the door. And everything was going great until he got a knock on the door. And he opened the door, and there's two men. So we'd like to talk to you for a second, Lot. Sure. What are we going to talk about? God's fixing to destroy this place. What for? I mean, we're having a good time. Because it is full of blasphemy. It's full of perversion. It's full of sin. God despises what's going on here, and he's going to destroy this place. My family's here. Yeah, I know your family's here. But what can I do? I mean, if you want to, you can try to get your family out. Well, I mean, of course, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give me some time. I'm going to get my family out, okay? I don't know how many kids Lot had, honestly. Some say he had two daughters. His two daughters went with him, but he had two son-in-laws too. I don't know if he had grandkids. I don't know if he had other daughters that didn't go. All I know is two daughters went with him, but he had son-in-laws. And he had two daughters that he wanted to give to the men of that city. And so he goes to his son-in-laws and he said, hey, now, I got something I need to talk to you about. Okay. God is going to destroy this place.
Do what?
Yeah. God is going to destroy this place with fire. And we got to get out of here. I mean, you got my daughters and we got to get out of here. We got to go. Lot, what have you been smoking? I'm being truthful with you. I'm being honest with you. God sent two angels to my house, and God said he's going to destroy this place. And we got to get out of here. They looked at you. You hear this old man? What's he talking about? God is going to destroy this place. Hey, I'm not funning anymore. I'm telling you the truth. I saw them. They're in my house. They're in my house right now. Come. You got to see. They're in my house. God is going to destroy this place if we don't get out of here. And the Bible said that his son-in-laws mocked him. You know why they mocked him? Because he had lost his testimony. He went with the religious reason, but when he got there, there was no religion about it. And now all of a sudden, he wants to be religious again. Come on, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. We got to get out. And they laughed at him and they mocked him. This old man's losing his mind. You're crazy. Lot, go home. Sleep this off. Go home. They mocked him. And he went home dejected. And when he got home, and there he is, and all of a sudden the men of the city come about and they said, hey, we saw two men come in here. Give them to us. I can't do that. I can't do that. And he's outside the door and he's like, no, just stay away. Just stay away. No. We want them. We want them. And all of a sudden, Lot's eyes are opened and he realizes that I have made the wrong decision. And his eyes are open and he's standing there. He's like, please, just go away. No. We want them. He's listen to Lot. He said, look, I got two daughters in here. I'll give you my two daughters, and you can abuse them all night long. I'll give you them. We don't want them. And so he went back inside, and the angel smote those men with blindness. And the next day, Lot and his wife and his two daughters leave the city, going to the land that they should have went to begin with. And that's all Lot got out of that place. You say, well, he got his wife. No, not really. The real reason she couldn't get past. And she looked back. She became a pillar of salt. Well, I mean, he got his two daughters, did he? Did he? He may have gotten them out of Sodom, but he couldn't get Sodom out of them. And two incestuous children are born. Because Lot made the wrong decision. I want to help you here today. It's not my desire to deprive anybody of love, joy, happiness, companionship. It's not my desire for any of that. But yet, as I stand on the wall and I look out over your soul, I want to do my best to lead you in the right decisions. Because the decisions that you make today are going to affect your tomorrows. They're going to affect your tomorrows. A night of pleasure brings about illegitimate children.
and you have to live with it the rest of your life. A night of wrong decisions could land you in prison. Wrong decisions could put you into gangs where you can't get out. Wrong decisions. Every decision leads to other decisions that compound it further and further and further. Until finally you're in a place and you feel like you have no escape. I can't get out. There is a God, and He can help you, and He will help you, and He'll lead you, and He'll guide you, because He loves you. And contrary to popular belief from many, He desires the best for you. You are the apple of His eye. And if you'll do it God's way, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. But you've got to do it God's way. And as I close, I want to leave you, and this is going to sound so far off the wall, but just hear me out. Just hear me out. This is how important I believe it is. Last night I had a dream. And in that dream, Brother Deontay, I was two pews ahead of you, standing right there in that aisle, in that pew. I was standing right there. And I turned and I looked towards this congregation, and there was nobody, but I looked towards where everybody typically sits. And it's like instantly a smile came on my face. A joy sunk down deep. I can't explain it, Brother Worse. It was a joy that sunk down deep in my heart. And a smile came all over my face. And I took a deep breath and I said, "This is the rapture. This is the rapture." And I immediately began to float, and I went through that column. I went across that PA system booth right there. I went through the doors of the church and began to ascend up. It was an awesome feeling, as I could feel like my spirit just... The only thing that I can explain is that in the instant, in the twinkling of an eye, I was changed. And I immediately just levitated and just zipped. Just, and it was over. What an immaculate, marvelous, awesome feeling. And you say, "I don't understand. What does that have?" I believe that's how close we are to the coming of the Lord. I believe that I will see it happen. I believe that I could be among that generation that's standing in that pew, and the feeling just overwhelms. And it was like I knew it's happening. This is the rapture. And so I just say to you like this: you don't have much time. You don't have a long time when life. God's coming soon. God's coming so very soon. It could be tomorrow. It could be tonight. At any moment, I want to be right. And so I want to make the right decisions. Can we stand tonight? I want to make the right decisions. I want to make the right decisions.
Now, I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, there are you that are in this place right now that you've got things all lined up. Decisions are already made. Direction is already set. There are things that parents don't know about. There's things that friends don't know about. There's things that others don't know about. But God does. God does. And here I am prepared to preach a message about success to our young people. And at 6:50, I sit down in that chair and God speaks and says, the religious reason and the real reason. And I go searching through my Bible because I know where I've written that down. And sure enough, there it is. And so I get on the computer and I look for messages and they're not there. I haven't preached it before. I've used that saying twice and that's all that's there. It's not elaborated on. It just says the religious reason, the real reason, and that's it. Young people, adults, everybody here tonight, you hear me today, there are decisions that are being made tonight. There are decisions in life that are happening tonight. I am pulling. I am begging. I am asking you, make the right decision. You know what the right decision is. You better stray from that. You better turn around. You better run from that. Because there is the land of Sodom and Gomorrah with bright flashing lights that's yelling and trying to attract your attention. And saying, hey, over here, come, come. We'll have a wonderful, marvelous, glorious time. Come, come, come. Enter in. And you know I'm speaking to you tonight in the Holy Ghost. And instead of turning around and running to that decision, I'm asking you to run to an altar here tonight. I'm asking you to come to this altar and to make things right tonight. Come on, it's time. It's time. Everybody pray. Come on, prayer warriors, help me pray. There are others here tonight that you need to make the right decisions. Come on, you've been making the wrong decisions, and you know you've been making the wrong decisions. And it's affecting you. It's affecting you. It's affecting you. And tonight you have sat through the service tonight, amen, scared. You have sat so nervously. And I'm just simply having to ask you this. Just listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me tonight. If it's so right, then why do you have to hide it? If it's so right, why do you have to hide it? It's because it's not right. There's something that's wrong about it. You need to pay attention. That's your soul. Your soul is screaming out to you. Amen. And here's your religious reason screaming out to you. And the real reason is saying, hide it, hide it, hide it, bury it. Be careful. Don't let anybody see. Hide it, hide it, hide it. And the religious reason is screaming at you saying, go to an altar. Don't do this. Stray away from this. Run from this. Get away from this. Go talk to the pastor about this. You got to do something about this. Oh, you need help. You need help. You need help. You need help. And you won't come for help because you know what I'll say. That's what you've said. I know what you're going to say. Does that not speak volumes? Does that not speak volumes if you know what I'm going to say? What's so right about it if you're so afraid and you know what I'm going to say? What's so right about it? You just don't understand. I understand way too well. I understand way too well. I've sat across the desk of broken marriages. I've dealt with divorced parents and kids that are hurt in the process of all of this. I've dealt with kids that aren't wanted. I've dealt with kids that don't have parents and they were in institutions. I've sat across plate glass windows and talked to them through phones. All because people made the wrong decision. Don't tell me I don't understand. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to help you tonight. Don't close up. Don't close up. Don't close up. This is your soul reaching out. This is your soul crying out to you. Your soul has a friend tonight. And that friend is behind the pulpit. That friend has a microphone. That friend is crying out. And that soul has united with that. And your carnal nature is trying to sever that. Your carnal nature is trying to tune me out. Your carnal nature is trying to turn me off. And the emotions are like a simmering pot on the stove. And they're getting ready to boil. And you're afraid they're going to boil over. And your spirit is going to break within you. And then all of a sudden it's going to gush out. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what God wants. That's what God is doing tonight. That's why God laid the burden upon me. That's why God dealt with me. Amen. About this, He was telling me, I don't need you to study. I don't need you to know all the basics and all the principles. I just need you to follow the Holy Ghost tonight. If you gotta hide the text messages, they're wrong. If you gotta hide it from mom and dad, it's wrong. If you gotta hide, amen, your internet stuff, it's wrong. Amen. If you gotta hide your communications, it's wrong. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, mom and dad. I'm asking you here tonight, don't be fooled by religious reason. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, don't be fooled by it. Get in the Holy Ghost. Get in the Holy Ghost. Get in the Holy Ghost. Come on, we've got people's eternities that are on the line right now. Amen. We've got saints. We've got adults here tonight. That your eternity is on the line right now. I feel it, I feel it, I feel it tonight. Your eternity is on the line right now. And the devil's lying to you. Amen. And the devil's got you trying to believe that there's a religious reason about it. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a real reason that's behind it. And it's not good. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. You listen to this preacher here tonight. You're going to live to regret that decision. You're going to wish to God that you could go back and that you could change some things. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost tonight, if you think that you had it bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And it's because the devil intends to destroy you because he knows that the rapture is getting ready to take place. He knows, amen, that it's not going to be long. He knows that he has but a short time and he's doing everything that he can. Come on, it's time to do right. It's time to live for God. Come on, it's time to get your soul right. It's time to get your life right. It's time to get your life right. It's time to get right. Come on, it's time to get right. It's time to get the Holy Ghost. It's time to be saved. It's time to live for God. Come on, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time.
Come on, God's reaching. God's reaching, God's reaching, God's reaching, God's reaching tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus.